Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's time to play like a Jet
with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Mekhi Becton, ladies and gentlemen, human beings that large should not run as fast as Mekhi Becton did. And if you like people just abusing other humans, the Mekhi Becton tape is for you.
Wilson going to the air. Chased out by Daquan Jones. Wilson looking end zone wide open. Touchdown! First NFL touchdown for Zach Wilson. And it goes to Corey Davis. Crowder trying to get him out of space. Slips a tackle. And there he goes. Crowder. It's a foot race. And Crowder is in there. A 69-yard touchdown.
Hill hit immediately. He got the handoff.
You know who that's.
The Q-inator.
Oh, my gosh.
Listen, thank you.
From the PlayLikeAJet.com digital studio, this is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And it is time for the Jets-Eagles post-game report. Jets lose to the Eagles 33-18 at MetLife Stadium. Gardner Minshew looked like Joe Montana today. Of course, the Jets defense played a big role in that, because when even a halfway competent quarterback gets 30 seconds to throw on every single play, he's going to make you pay for it. Okay, maybe not 30 seconds, but he had a lot of time to throw. And so to talk about that and everything else surrounding this game, we bring in the owner, the operator, the lead reporter, the whole shebang over at JetsInsider.com. And above all that, a very big deal, Mr. Chris Nimbley. Chris, before we get into the rest of this, we were just talking before we started recording, and you have a rant against the officiating in this game brewing in you. And so I'm going to have you let that out first, because I know that it'll be cathartic for you, and certainly cathartic for anybody who had to sit through this poor officiating.
Yeah, let me preface this by saying the Jets lost all on their own. This is not to I don't even care about how bad the officiating is, the effect that it had on this game. But this is a problem that has been bubbling and growing over the years. The officiating is getting worse and worse and worse. And these calls, you know, you a second down bad call is whatever, but it feels more and more that they wait to these bad calls until it's either a drive-killing call or a drive-saving call. They always have them at the worst moments, and these are just, like, baffling, inexplicably bad calls here. These pass interference calls, and normally when you have a bad officiated game, it falls pretty even. It's evenly spread out between the two teams. The Jets were definitely on the wrong end of this one. This felt like it legit looked like the refs had money on the Eagles with the points. Like it legit, I always laugh at people who go conspiracy crazy on this. If you go conspiracy crazy, I have nothing for you. Like, I'm just going to sit here and be like, yeah, I don't think that's what's happening. But I can't point at anything to be like, no, you're actually ridiculous. The officiating has gotten so, so terrible. They're just like, you can make an argument that the level of play has never been greater. The skill has never been greater in this sport, but the refs are literally ruining the sport. And it's not just the refs, because it's the league and their mandates on the reffing, the stupid emphasis on taunting, these types of things. And again, we see it a lot with roughing the passer penalties. I'm told, of course, need to protect the quarterbacks. I had a rant on this earlier in the season, but you've had terrible ones that keep popping up on third and long. And it's like third and 33, and you get a terrible, ridiculously bad ref call that gives the team a hold brand new set of first downs. It honestly is makes some of these games just unwatchable. If I didn't have to watch this game for work and come on this and talk about it, I would have checked out of that game long before it was over because those refs were making it unwatchable. Again, the Jets lost this game all on their own. This has nothing to do with that. This is a problem that's going on in games that are on your TV right now, speaking like it's just horrible. And the NFL, again, it's the league office is trying to mandate some of these rules. Some of these rules that they want called are just bad rules to begin with. The refs' jobs are hard enough as it is, but it's just making the game unbearable sometimes.
Chris, the main story of this game, aside from, as you said, the horrible officiating, is that the Jets and Eagles were really smacking each other good in the first half. The score at the end of the first half was 24-18 Philly. This had the makings of a shootout. The Jets scored touchdowns on each of their first three drives, although if you didn't watch the game, you wouldn't know it based on the score because you'd say 18, what happened? Well, what happened is the new kicker, who we'll get into a little bit later, missed both extra points, and then as a result, the Jets went for the two-point conversion on the third touchdown and did not get it. But let's talk about the main takeaways here in a positive light and a negative light. The negative light is that the Jets' defense got off to a bad start and never recovered. The Eagles had their way with them the entire way. And in the second half, even though the Eagles didn't score as many points, they only put up 9 points on the board, they didn't have to. They controlled the clock. Every single time the defense had an opportunity to get off the field, they couldn't. Whether it was because, as you said, Chris, they lost it on their own or had a little bit of help from the referees a couple of times. But the Jets just couldn't get much going in the second half offensively. Part of it is because the Eagles' offense monopolized the clock. The other part is that the Jets' offense just wasn't as effective. But if we're looking at positives here, Zach Wilson played a much better, much more efficient game. 23 of 38, 226 yards, 2 touchdowns. He had that one bad interception, but he threw 1 touchdown to Elijah Moore, 1 to Ryan Griffin on a really good call by Mike LaFleur on 4th down. It was 4th and 1. They didn't want to go for the field goal after their kicker had missed 2 extra points. Turned out to be a smart move as Ryan Griffin was wide open in the end zone for Zach Wilson. Wilson also, by the way, got a touchdown rushing the ball in a quarterback sneak at the goal line. They tried it on one play, didn't get it. So on the very next play, they went right back to the well and it worked a second time. Chris, as you joked in the comments on Twitter when I tweeted out that I didn't realize how much Tevin Coleman had left in the tank, you had mentioned several times during training camp that you were surprised by how good Tevin Coleman looked. Played another really good game. 11 carries, 58 yards, very efficient, 5.3 yards per carry. He's not a guy that you want to give the ball 20, 25 times a game, but if you're giving him the ball 10 to 15 times, so far this season he's been pretty good when given the opportunity. Clearly the preferred running back right now by the offensive coaches, considering that Ty Johnson carried the ball once and Austin Walter also carried the ball once. Receiving, it was the Elijah Moore show from where I sat. Now, Jamison Crowder, when you look at the stat sheet, had 4 catches for 62 yards. But if you were watching this game, the guy that jumped out to you by far was Elijah Moore. He had that touchdown, and he was pretty much unguardable for most of the day. In fact, as you mentioned before, Chris, with the bad refereeing, there was a spot towards the end where the Jets were trying to drive to keep their hopes alive in the fourth quarter, and Elijah Moore was very clearly held towards the end zone, and there should have been a flag, and there wasn't. So a lot of issues there. Like I said, with Zach Wilson, he and Elijah Moore hooked up quite a bit today, and the fact that that connection is continuing to blossom is a huge positive here. It's what you're hoping to see for the next 10 years or so. Should also say that even though Zach Wilson wasn't as good in the second half, other than that one bad interception, he wasn't bad. He just wasn't anywhere close to as good as he was in the first half. In the first half, I was joking that he looked like Mike White in that Cincinnati game. Defensively, I don't really even know what to say. The defense was horrible. They couldn't get off the field. They couldn't make any plays. Gardner Minshew could have taken a nap back there or read a full-length book. They made him look spectacular, which isn't exactly easy to do because Gardner Minshew is at best what he was today, a decent backup. But when you give even a decent backup that kind of time, he's going to burn you. When you look at what the Eagles did, I joked early on that it was the Jets versus Dallas Goedert because Dallas Goedert was pretty much unguardable early on. Two touchdowns in the first half, six catches, 105 yards. Pretty quiet in the second half, but in the second half, Miles Sanders did a lot of damage. And Quez Watkins, three catches for 60 yards. Chris, this might just be my mind playing tricks on me, but it sure felt like each of those three catches was on third and long when the Jets should have been able to get off the field, but Quez Watkins was able to keep those drives alive for Philadelphia. So overall, a really solid first half. I like that Mike LaFleur is growing into this job. Called a really nice game, particularly in the first half. Zach Wilson looked better. Elijah Moore continued to look like a beast. Tevin Coleman seemed to have turned back the clock a bit again today. But when we're looking at it in totality, the Eagles were able to continue to move the ball and chew up clock in the second half. The Jets weren't, and the defense for the Jets sunk them all day long.
I'm going to start here with your main takeaway as a fan. I think your main takeaway from this game should be Zach Wilson and the offense looked pretty damn good for in that first half.
Mm-hmm.
You certainly would have liked for them to be able to carry that on into the second half and then extend that play further. But the Eagles have a really good defense. They're not, you know, the best in the league defense, but they're a really solid defense. They came in, the Elijah Moore, Zach Wilson, that you got to be excited about how they were able to, you know, it's been the opposite. They've only been able to get going, or Zach Wilson's only been able to get going in the second half. This time it was just the first half, but still you saw a lot of good. A lot of good, a lot of positive momentum. Second half, you know, I can write off some of the things that happened, largely due to the defense just getting rolled over and them the offense not being able to get into any type of rhythm. You know, there's also all the bad calls too, which again you'll never really hear me talk about as an excuse for anything throughout the game. But there were huge, like, drive-altering bad calls here. And then on top of that, you had one, you know, Corey Davis with the drop. I'm not blaming Corey Davis at all on this one. And fans didn't – people in my mentions didn't seem to understand what I was saying. Go ahead, continue to criticize him for the other drops this season. He shouldn't have been out on the field when he was out there. He clearly had re-aggravated his groin injury and wasn't right on that play. So I can't get on him too much for that drop, but it was a beautiful pass. And it otherwise, besides the injury, it would have been completed. So that should be your main takeaway. Now, as to what went wrong with this game, why the Jets lose, I mean, the kicker and the defense. And my main takeaway about that is that's why they lost. Who cares? Stop thinking about it. For both of those things as well, because I've been saying this for years going into the season. I don't care if they lose by 50. If the offense is good, I don't care. For this year, it's just got to get the offense right. Again, they went into the season knowing they're going to take lumps on defense. They went in with the plan to start undrafted rookies. They've had all types of injuries. The entire starting safety unit is gone. It hasn't really barely played at all. So I feel like especially they're coming off the win last week and then fans ratchet up these expectations again. And I feel like every week we go into it and fans have way too high expectations of what they expect out of this team with the amount of talent that they have on this roster and the way that they went into the season saying, we're going to be playing, living and dying with these young guys. We're going to take our lumps and it's going to look bad at times. They just made the bet that that's going to pay off long term. But I feel like we have to keep reassessing this at halftime of every game because fans are like shocked that the Jets aren't living up to expectations. And again, the kicker's terrible. At this point, I think you can kind of spin it into an advantage. Use this opportunity to not bothering to take to even try kicking field goals and extra points. Just get extra reps for the offense at this time, high leverage situations. Take advantage of it that way. Maybe you end up losing some games that you have a chance at winning, but oh well, who cares this season? That's the biggest downside of it. And again, that's what I feel about the defense too. You obviously would like to see the defense play better. This is the idea that they went into this game and they only, practiced and prepared for Jalen Hurts. This has come up a couple of times throughout my career, and I've seen it in other teams as well. And I don't feel confident that I know what I would do differently. But I felt that it was, there was enough reason to doubt that Hurts was playing that, like, there should have been, like, some type mm-hmm. of focus. Maybe just, like, give players, like, a little bit of a plan to study on their own for 10 minutes a night, but some type of focus on what happens if Gardner Minshew's the quarterback. They didn't do it. Now they're saying that, the offense is the same. And now they definitely didn't start out the same that the Eagles normally do. And you can't tell me that the Eagles' offense is the same with Gardner Minshew and Jalen Hurts when Jalen Hurts running the ball is the offense is based around that. So, I would think that they should have focused more on the potential there, especially, like I said, it seemed like Jalen Hurts wasn't going to play. I totally get spending most of your time on Jalen Hurts. Just you don't want to get caught off guard. I totally get that, but a little bit. But I don't know how much to criticize him for that. I do know, again, this defense just doesn't have the talent to run with good teams. It just doesn't. They were able to settle down and stop the Texans because the Texans is like Tyrod Taylor who can make some plays and Brandon Cooks, and that's it. They've got some, games this week that are still coming up this year that I think you'll be able to see them play decently. But they just don't have the talent. There's too many holes in this roster. And then they came out and Dallas Goedert just ate them up at first. And then they were able to just continue to run as they wanted, however they wanted. But the main takeaway has to be, again, who cares about the kicker at this point? If as long as they get that fixed before next year, because this is going to have to be a problem, but I'm still operating under the idea that Joe Douglas has basically been like, we're going on the cheap for the kicker until we feel like we actually have a semi-decent team that can compete. And I know that they didn't go into the season thinking that. This season was about the first year of building the foundation up and being willing to know that there's a whole bunch of leaks in this roster currently.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Chris, I think it's interesting that early in the season we were doubting Mike LaFleur and touting Jeff Ulbrich, and now we're in the opposite direction. We're starting to really like what LaFleur is doing. He's starting to come into his own. And Ulbrich has looked worse and worse for the most part as the season has gone on. So we'll see how this bears out throughout the remaining games. Special teams was interesting today. As you mentioned, Alex Kessman missed both extra points. He's terrible. Amendola was terrible. I had suggested claiming Jose Borregales off of Tampa Bay's practice squad, but William Gutierrez informed me on Twitter that the Bucs have been protecting him every week. Smart move, because with the lack of good kickers in the league, you'd think somebody would take him. Whether it's Borregales or drafting somebody or signing a veteran, like you said, they've got to get this fixed by the beginning of next year. Doesn't matter now because the team is 3-9, so who really cares? But if it takes a draft pick to fix that kicker situation, a sixth or seventh round pick, fine, whatever. Braxton Berrios, while we're talking about special teams, had himself a big day. In fact, on the opening kickoff of the game, he took the ball all the way to the Philly 20, which set up that opening touchdown from Zach Wilson to Elijah Moore. Braxton Berrios was also the subject of something that I thought was really funny. He and Elijah Moore, the PA announcer, Joe Nolan, actually referred to Elijah Moore as Braxton Berrios twice after Elijah Moore had receptions. I'm not sure exactly how that mistake happens more than once, but it gave a couple of us a pretty good chuckle in my section. Also, another comedy moment that I saw walking out of the stadium. Some woman was taping a friend of hers who had decided that she was going to do planks right there in the middle of the rampway where you're walking out of the stadium. I assume this woman who was doing the planks lost a bet. I have no idea. I didn't stop to ask. So if anybody knows who that woman was or why she was doing planks in the middle of the rampway, go ahead and let me know. Or if you're the woman herself or the woman's friend who is filming it and you happen to be listening to this podcast, feel free to enlighten me because I got a chuckle out of it, but I still have no idea what was going on there. Chris, plenty of injuries, so you can update us on that. And also, what do we get out of the locker room in terms of interesting quotes after the game?
Yeah, so there's a few injuries. Corey Davis re-aggravated that groin. Ryan Griffin with an ankle. Laurent Duvernay-Tardif had to leave the game, and Greg Van Rotten came in there in the second half. And then, yeah, afterwards, you know, they talked to Bryce Hall, Robert Salibu talked about how they didn't really prepare for Gardner Minshew, but they actually, you know, there was no real difference in the offense there. I'm going to beg to differ there, but all right. CJ Mosley said that, you know, they're just teams aren't respecting them, and he's right. And why should they? Mm-hmm. Like, this is I'll say, you brought up how everyone was criticizing LaFleur and that ready to fire LaFleur, and now it's flipped onto Olbrich, and you should relax on that, just like it was ridiculous to criticize LaFleur at that point. You're getting too far ahead of yourself criticizing Olbrich again. They came into this season expecting to take these lumps. They know they don't have the horses to do this. The complaint that you can criticize them for, something that I will absolutely criticize, is I don't think they should be running the system, how, at least not the way they're running it now, when they clearly don't have the talent to run it. I get wanting to establish some of the principles and the foundation of the system because it's going to be here long term, but you got to figure out ways to tweak it when you don't have the talent to run it as you want, because right now they're just running it without the horses, and it is not pretty. But yeah, again, I can't sit here and criticize Olbrich too much for the way that it looks when I just know that it's just mostly talent here. Again, I think you can definitely criticize not being willing to adjust more, but I have faith that once they get more talent in, this system will look like what we saw it look like in San Francisco. I don't have any doubts about that going forward. So, obviously, not the greatest mood in that locker room, though, especially with the way that the game went, the trading punches back and forth. I think even the defense is like, okay with this. Like, hey, they're watching. They're like, wait, watch. This offense is getting going. We're scoring touchdowns in the first quarter, even. Not even just the first half, first quarter, multiple touchdowns. So the mood isn't great in there. There's a lot of anger. And, yeah, obviously – Salah didn't want to talk about the refs. He said he'll talk about it tomorrow. Clearly, that's a don't ask me to talk about it now, because if I talk about it now, I'm going to say something that's going to get me in trouble. He's going to be able to sleep on it and probably have some, you know, put it in a more polite ways that refs were just awful. But then again, to be honest, he could also go up and they could go watch the tape and he could be even more furious tomorrow, because I have a feeling that's how I would be if I was him. I would be even more furious watching the tape of that. So maybe he ends up getting fined tomorrow. But yeah, you know, there's not a lot to really focus on today again, except for just, hey, Zach Wilson, the offense looked really good. And I'll leave this or want this to be like a lasting thought that stays in a fan's head. I feel very confident that the Jets are going to be like at least a top 10 rushing offense next year. Like that, you're starting to see it. Michael Carter gets back healthy. Offensive line started to play better over the last few weeks, and they're gonna upgrade that offensive line more. So you can be very happy with Zach Wilson. You should be very happy with Elijah Moore. But I feel like the beat in our talking him up during training camp has been fully vindicated at this point. Be excited about those two. But also, this running game is going to be really good coming next year. I think we've seen enough to feel confident in that.
The owner, the operator, the lead reporter, the whole shebang over at JetsInsider.com. And above all that, a very big deal, Mr. Chris Nimbley, thank you so much for coming on and joining me for this post-game report. The Jets going down 33-18 at the hands of the Philadelphia Eagles at MetLife Stadium. Really appreciate it. Check out everything Chris is doing over at JetsInsider.com. Follow him on Twitter at CNimbley and at Jets Insider. Check out everything we've got going at PlayLikeAJet.com and the Play Like a Jet YouTube channel. Luke Grant, the Thunder from Down Under, is going to have plenty of videos up this week, including a breakdown of Zach Wilson's performance against Philly today, which I think is one of the better performances he's had as a pro. You could make a case that it's the most consistently good performance he's had this season. And, of course, we've got merch for you over at teepublic.com. That's teepublic.com. The Bless You, Thank You shirt with Quinn Williams and John Franklin Myers. We've got the Zach Says Go Long shirt, the Zach the Ripper shirt, the Play Like a Jet logo shirt, mugs, hoodies. It's all there. teepublic.com, teepublic.com. And go ahead and give us a 5-star review for the podcast on iTunes if you haven't done that already. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts and content, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital and PlayLikeAJet.com.